Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Sling is the live TV service that puts you in charge. Choose your plan. Orange for sports and entertainment favorites, blue for news and reality, or select for the essentials. Only pay for the stuff you actually watch. And pause your subscription anytime because paying for TV or not watching? That's just rude. No long-term contracts, no nonsense. Pick your plan, add what you want. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087-1400-106 is our WhatsApp number, and our email address is afternoon@newstalk.com. Later on in the show, will be time for movies and booze. The two movies we're going to be talking about are Pillion and Christie. I think we did mention that last week on the show as well. That absolutely bombed in the US, so we'll be, Chris Wasser will be in to tell us what he thinks of it. Also, we're going to be giving away €266,000. On top of that, small announcement to make, an announcement we always make around this time of the year. It is the time, date and location of our Christmas Outside broadcast. It will take place this day week. That's December the 5th. In the Sugar Club in Dublin, with thanks to our friends in Spar. It'll be a special supergroup version because Barbara and Declan will also be there to answer various problems. We'll also have music, movies and a bit of a tipple. If you'd like to be in the audience, you can register now at newstalk.com/events. newstalk.com/events. And that's the only place you can register for tickets. Don't email in with a sob story about it's your birthday or you just crashed your car or send in a moany text. newstalk.com/events is the only place to get tickets for that. That's this day week on the 5th of December in the Sugar Club in Dublin. So that's all a bit exciting. Speaking of exciting, how much sex are you having? And is it less or more than anyone else? For some, a dry spell of a few weeks might be viewed as a disaster. For others, that might be pretty normal. When should you start to freak out about it? Mary O'Connor is a psychosexual therapist. Good afternoon, Mary.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
In your experience, Mary, with working with couples, do they always want the same amount of sex or never want the same amount of sex?
Hardly ever, because they wouldn't have been coming to me if all was well with them. And indeed, one of the most common problems that I saw was lack of desire. I mean, it's loosely termed as lack of desire. And it was just as much the woman as the man. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes the woman was complaining that she wasn't having enough sex, and sometimes he was complaining. So it's pretty much across the board.
Yeah. And do the reasons for that vary?
Yeah, loads and loads of reasons, really. I mean, I always go by the theory that sex is about procreation. I mean, the side thing is that it's really enjoyable and that people have great fun. But the main object of people being sexual together, more often by nature anyway, is to procreate. So when a woman is ovulating, she's feeling very sexual. When she's young, she's feeling more horny. The guys are the same. Then as the children arrive and people are getting more tired, they're probably doing two jobs. You know, they're each working outside of the home as well as inside the home. And sex gets put on the back boiler, really, because they're small kids. They're getting up to them at night. They're doing the lunches before they go to bed, putting out the cat, all those sort of things. And then, you know, expect to be sexual, or one of them is complaining that they're not having sex. And that you can see all the reasons why they're not, you know.
Mm. So in the main, is it just people are tired?
A lot of it is, yes. A lot of it is tired. And always, if people are attending sex therapy, they undertake to do a couple of sessions at home a week where they, you know, give the time to each other and start off just by having massage and there's no sex at all, but it's purely sensual. But the instruction is always that must be earlier in the evening. You know, we'd say like 9 o'clock, not 11 o'clock when you're going to bed, or 10:30, but early. And I would always say to couples, if you're thinking that, you know, sex might might be on the cards. Do get to bed a bit earlier, because then you'll have more energy, and you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah. Is there a degree in this that's it's essentially societal pressure, because you're kind of made to feel you should be having more sex?
Yes. And it's the question that everybody asks in therapy. How often is everyone else having it? You know, I've always reminded of the Annie Hall film. Did you see that? And they have a split screen, and they're both in therapy. And the Albie Singer therapist is saying to him, well, how often do you sleep together? And he says really crossly, well, hardly ever, maybe 3 times a week. And at the same time, her therapist is saying to her, do you have sex often? And she replies, constantly. I'd say 3 times a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just totally different views of the same thing.
Yeah. But when people ask you how much sex are other people having, what do you say to them?
I say to them probably roughly 2x a week.
Yeah. Okay. So
it may be more, you know, on holidays or weekends away or, you know, special occasions or whatever. But generally, you know, and I would always say, excuse me, I would always say that if it goes longer than a month, then you need to sit down and say what's going on here, you know, because one person will be getting very, very aggravated and maybe not saying it.
Yeah.
The other is blissfully unaware. So again, it's down to communication. They need to talk about it. I mean, dry spells are quite normal, you know. I mean, say if you're sick or you're stressed about money or exams or whatever it is, you know, it can be a great switch off. But getting the head around getting to do that can be quite difficult.
Yeah, because I suppose when a couple are starting out, they've nothing else to think about. But then suddenly,
well, that's right,
down the road,
no,
you've everything else. Yeah.
They have a home, and they're not, nobody is going to be coming in on top of them, or, you know, they have. And also at the early stages of a relationship, you know, it's called the bunny phase, because people can't keep their hands off each other, you know. But if they kept doing that, they'd be exhausted by the after a couple of years.
Yeah.
but yeah, you know, it does have peaks and valleys, I suppose, you know.
Do people ever come into you and say, I just don't fancy him anymore, or I just don't fancy her
anymore?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's difficult, because they're not going to say that in the partner's presence. They're going to say it on their own. And then you're trying to find out. And the number one key is, how is the relationship? You know, is the relationship OK? Is there anything that he or she is doing that's driving you crazy? Is there someone else on the scene? There's always a reason, you know, and it may be just that he doesn't bother anymore, you know, or she doesn't bother anymore, whatever. But I don't fancy him. I don't fancy her. That's really, really difficult. Then that can often be, but they won't admit it in front of the partner, because maybe the other person has put on a load of weight.
Yeah, could be that. Or, yeah,
you know?
Or they snore, or they, you know, make a weird sound when they chew their dinner. You know, all those kind of habits people develop all over time.
That's right. Yeah. Remember the War of the Roses, and she was sitting there looking at Michael Douglas chewing his food, and she was going crazy because he just drove her totally bananas by the way he did it. Yeah, all of those things. But again, you know, it's catching it early, really. You know, it's as I say, if a month has gone by and nothing has happened, one person does need to say to the other, look, what's going on, and can we make an effort? And, you know, once a colleague of mine used to always say that, you know, having sex or making love is like making brown bread. Sometimes it turns out better than others, but it's always good for you. And it's very true. You know, it can be more enjoyable sometimes than others for whatever reason, you know, but you never afterwards say, God, that was dreadful.
I wonder, do you? Well, I mean, but that's a point too, that, you know, sometimes people can regard having sex as kind of a performative thing, that you almost have to hold up a scorecard at the end and go, how was that for you, and all that kind of stuff.
Not if a couple know each other very well.
Yeah.
I don't think. Again, it's the friend saying, how is he in bed? I mean, that's very hard and harsh. Or how is she?
Yeah.
How does she perform? That does rate it as a performance. Whereas, I mean, one night stands are all very well and they can be very exciting. But if there's a relationship, it's much more emotional, it's much better, and there's much more, one gets much more from it, you know.
Yeah.
One
of our listeners, Mary, says they're at it once a week. Is that okay?
Grand.
They want to know. That's grand.
Absolutely. But also, if they're both very happy with that, that's That's perfectly fine. I always quote, I write the Sunday Independent Dear Mary column, you know, and obviously people write in with problems. But this man wrote to me one time a couple of years ago, and he said that he just wanted to tell me how it was with his wife and himself. He had no complaints, but he said they're both retired and they have sex every morning before they get up. And it's a lovely, lovely experience. And he said, when you come downstairs, you're never going to complain if the porridge is lumpy after what's gone on upstairs.
That's a great one.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I think farmers have a lot of sex.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because they're seeing it on the farm?
No, because, like, you know, there's no one around. And oftentimes it's like he's out doing whatever farmers do and she's at home. And then he goes home for the lunch and they think, we might as well. And, you know, they could be knocking it out a couple of times a day. No problem.
Yeah. You'll have to wait and see. Do farmers call you in and tell you whether that's true or not? I've never heard that theory before.
Actually, one person says the reality is Netflix is ruining people's sex lives. In the olden days, there was nothing as good on the telly, so people went to bed and had sex. Now we binge watch series in one night.
Well, that's very good. That's true, too. That's true. We've all done it.
Really?
4, 5, 6 hours, and then you get up and finish it off in the morning because you're dying to see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think is there is unrealistic expectations on the net, particularly for people who are looking at porn sites and they're seeing porn movies, which are totally unrealistic. And they give, you know, the wrong version altogether, or wrong expectations, I should say, as to what should be happening, you know.
It's
very unrealistic. And so then some people, if that's the only experience they have, and then they get into real life, they're expecting A, to perform differently to the way they do, and also for the other person to be performing differently. So that must be a bit of a come down, all right?
Yeah, pun intended. Mary, thanks a million.
Okay,
that was psychosexual therapist Mary O'Connor there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.